The late Chicago pastor A.W. Tozer made this challenging observation. He wrote, "It's doubtful God can use anyone greatly until he has hurt him deeply." On Tuesday's program, Chuck Swindoll pointed out that Tozer's wise reflection makes us squirm. Oh, we like the first part, becoming an instrument in God's hand. But we don't like the second part, when God uses pain to shape us into a tool that's useful for his purposes. Today on Insight for Living, we'll give our attention to a passage in Acts chapter 9 that illustrates this truth. First, however, we begin with prayer.
We have the year stretching out before us, Lord. And we all have one thing in common as we look into the months ahead. We do not know what one day will bring. We do not know what the next hour will bring. Our times are in your hand. Gratefully, you know what you're about. When we think those times will be calming and comforting, we're sometimes surprised to realize they are quite the opposite. But not apart from your working and your sovereign hand on our lives. So prepare us today for tomorrow. Equip us with what we will hear so that we might draw upon that out of the reservoir of our knowledge and memory in the days ahead. Teach us today from the life of a man who was beyond impossible in himself. Show us how you brought him to his knees, turned his entire life around, and gave him purpose and meaning and direction that he never had before. How you humbled him and hurt him, and with mighty blows converted him into trial shapes of clay while his own heart was crying, releasing his will to yours. Show us how to think deeply, how to think independently, how to give more attention to what you have written and less to what we hear on the news. Calm us, quiet us, reassure us, Lord, as we this year learn how to wait on you. And I pray especially today for those who have loved ones, whether relatives, their own children, or close friends, who are today beyond impossible. They are individuals that only you can handle, and you have a way of doing that like no one else. So remind us, Lord, that you are at work even when we cannot see it, as you were with Saul on his way to Damascus. And just as you broke him, brought him to his knees, and blinded him, so you were able to handle any impossible individual whom we love but cannot change. Remind us of that today, and may we not forget that that applies to us as well. May we remember through this year the words of the prophet that we are to do what is right, and we are to love mercy, and we are to walk humbly with you, our God. Finally, Lord, I pray for those who will minister to others in need. And I pray that you will use their lips, and their lives, their compassion, their wisdom to bring hope to those who have lost hope. and a reminder that you are at work, even when we cannot hear you or see you. Thank you for those who protect us today, on the streets of our city as well as in distant places where there are those enemies who would harm us if they could get to us. Bless them especially who wear the uniform of our country. We pray that you will set them apart in a very special way to carry out their difficult mission. Now use these funds, we pray, for your greater glory, because we remember that you're the shepherd who supplies our every need. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray and we give. Everyone said, Amen.
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called God Humbles a Proud Heart.
If there ever was a man whose pride needed crushing, it was Saul of Tarsus. Now, we forget that because he became the magnificent leader in the church, the writer of so much of the New Testament. Virtually every letter we read bears his name. His counsel has driven us deeper in our walk with Christ than most any other individual in the Bible. Again and again, he appears as a model of this magnificent thinker, this humble servant, this man faithful to the end, so that in the very last letter, he says to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. Saul, becoming Paul the Apostle, became for us a model. But not until the Saul of Tarsus was cut down to size. He was the most zealous of the zealous. He was the most brutal of the brutal. He was the most cruel of the cruel, heartless to the core. He was the worst of the worst. His great goal in life as a Pharisee in his lost estate was to make the followers of the way as miserable as possible. It was his goal to shut down Christianity. Scripture reveals the truth regarding him in his lost estate. Though he was religious, he was lost. Acts 22:4, Saul is speaking. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prison. Acts 26:9-10, I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Not only did I lock up saints in prison, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. Saul was a terrorist of the worst kind. And how proud and how arrogant he was carrying out this mission of misery until Acts chapter 9 records he's on his way to the ancient city of Damascus. Look with me at how God humbles this arrogant man. Saul went to the high priest, requested letters to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way that he found there. He wanted to bring them, men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus, he has in his hands the papers he needs, the official documents, search warrants, if you will, that got him into wherever he wished to go, where there were Christians, so that he might lock them up, hopefully be there for the trial when they were put to death, until he was stopped in his tracks. And God began to crush him. We read in Acts chapter 9, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone all around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice. Let me suggest to you, for the first time in a long time, perhaps ever in his adult life, he is no longer in control. The crushing has begun. The hounds of heaven have found Saul. He stopped in his tracks, whether he's on the back of a horse or in a cart or on his feet, whatever, he is knocked to the ground and the light is blinding. And he hears a voice calling his name. There's no person to see. There is only a voice to hear. And Saul, this proud, arrogant terrorist for the cause of Judaism, is literally brought to his knees. He is a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and suddenly he is knocked down as his humiliation begins. So he says, or he hears the word Saul, Saul. So whoever this is knows him. And does he ever? And then he asks, why are you persecuting me? Saul has no idea who the one speaking is. So he says, sir, who are you? The word Lord appears, but it's not his conversion here. That would come later. Here, it's like a word of respect. Sir, kurios. Who are you, sir? Who are you? You know me. I don't know you. Who are you? Can you imagine the shock when he heard the words, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting? The hounds of heaven found him. And they now have him encircled. And the Lord is conversing with him, clarifying that it no longer is up to Saul what happens in his life. God is in charge. Let me pause here and say, to you, to us who know individuals that are out of control, maybe not as notorious as this one, but impossible. You can't get their attention. You can't change their mind. You can't pull them aside and straighten them out, if you will. They're not interested. They wouldn't listen if you tried. Take heart. God knows what he's about. You may remember from an earlier piece I read how he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay, which only God understands. And he lifts beseeching hands, how he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes. God knows what he's about. Believe the Lord in this. No one is out of God's reach. No one is off the reservation. No one is out of touch with God's GPS, if you will. He's got his eyes on him. He knows what he's doing, and it is only a matter of time for things to change. I often try to comfort parents who have children that are impossible. I remind them this is a chapter. It isn't the book. This is a page out of a chapter. It isn't the whole writing. Take heart. If God could find and break Saul, he can do the same with the one we care about. So don't lose sleep. Don't lose heart. The men around Saul hear the sound of someone's voice, but they see him on the ground, but they don't know what this is all about either. He'll never go into that city with his eyesight or in his own strength. He's told, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. Strange words to come to the ears of Saul. No one told him what to do until now. But the crushing has begun. The men who stood by Saul were speechless. They heard the sound of someone's voice, but no one could be seen. Saul picked himself up off the ground. When he opened his eyes, he was blind. The crushing is continuing. He's now not only beginning to be humiliated, he is helpless. He's helpless. Perfect condition for an arrogant man. Saul is now being humiliated, confronted by Jesus, blinded for days, and has to be led by the hand into Damascus, according to the end of verse 8. Look at that. It is doubtful God can use anyone greatly till he's hurt him deeply. That isn't cruel. That's the work of a wise father who knows now is the time to break the arrogance. Now is my chosen moment, and I know what I'm going to be doing. In fact, it's interesting. The Lord then appears to a man named Ananias. He's a follower of Jesus. He calls his name, and Ananias knows him. Yes, Lord, yes. Yes, he replied, and the Lord said, go over to Straight Street in the house of Judas. When you will get there, you will ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. The name itself must have put a chill up the back of Ananias. Saul of Tarsus was a household name. His notoriety was known all over that area. And God is telling him, you're going to encounter this man you've heard about. But he's praying to me right now. He says, I've shown him a vision. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. So in a sense, he's expecting you. And through you, Ananias, we will tell him what I have for him. You see, Saul's out of control. He's alone. He's blind. He's not taking nourishment. And Ananias is not too excited about going to see a terrorist. And nor would I, nor would you. And so Ananias begins with our favorite word when we don't want to do it. But sounds like Jonah. Now, imagine yourself in Ananias' sandals. as your knees are knocking, knowing you're about to meet up with the most notorious terrorist of Christians that was on the loose. And the Lord says, go to him. Ananias says, by the way, you can't hear him stuttering. I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done. I'm exaggerating because that's Ananias's reluctance. You're asking me to go talk to Saul? But you see, he didn't know Saul was by now 3 days blind, humiliated, hungry, needy. But, Lord, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. He's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. I call on your name. I'm one of them. And you're asking me to go? Now look at the Lord's response. Love it. Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument. And I'll tell you, that is one of the greatest changes of identity you'll ever read. From a Judaistic terrorist to a chosen instrument of God. How could that be? Because God is in the process of cutting down a tall poppy, bringing him to his knees. He's my chosen instrument. He will take my message to Gentiles, to kings, and even to his own people, Israel. I will show him how much, notice verse 16, he must suffer for my name. That will become Saul's MO. From now on, it's in his DNA. Saul, who will become Paul, will become constant companions with pain and suffering. A man of hardship, a man who was broken, even though he saw this great vision in heaven, given the thorn in the flesh, which never left him and remained a part of his life for the rest of his years. How much suffering he must endure. Why? Because he is by nature proud and arrogant. And the Lord has a way of breaking down those who are like that.
Today's program takes us to the middle of this message from Chuck Swindoll. He's titled this study in Acts chapter 9, God Humbles a Proud Heart. And we urge you to be listening when we present the conclusion here on Insight for Living. If you missed any portion of this message so far, find the downloadable audio file at insightworld.org. It's not an overstatement to say that we've been waiting to roll out a certain brand new resource for many years. And if you could choose only one of Chuck's books from the dozens he's written, this is the one that belongs in your collection of Bible study tools. The Swindoll Study Bible is available for purchase right now. This Bible, in the New Living Translation, includes a wealth of helpful information for anyone who's serious about digging deeper into the Scriptures, including things like profiles on key biblical characters, background details for each of the 66 books, and moments to pray and apply wisdom from God's Word. There's even a photographic tour of Israel that makes the geographical maps come alive and gives you a visual sense for the places where biblical history unfolded. In addition to adding this to your personal library, the Swindoll Study Bible would make a thoughtful gift for your pastor as well. So take some time to make your choice from several different bindings by going online to insight.org/study Bible. Or in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. It's possible you've never contacted Insight for Living before, and we'd like to give you an extra incentive to make today the first time. When you call, write, or go online today, let us know that you're new to us, and be sure to request the 2018 Wall Calendar from Insight for Living. The Wall Calendar is our gift to you, simply for getting in touch today. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/2018calendar. This offer is only valid in the United States.
Deep blue waters, ancient glaciers, waterfalls cascading from forested mountainsides.
Find rest and beauty as you vacation with Chuck Swindoll, June 30th through July 7th, 2018, on the Insight for Living Ministries Cruise to Alaska.
When was the last time you lingered at the balcony of a cruise liner or counted bald eagles sitting in towering trees along the shoreline? Probably never. Until now.
This is the time to breathe deep and create memories. Get away to a spectacular place that points you vividly towards your Creator.
You and your loved ones will set sail with us for a week of cruising, laughter, fun, the study of God's Word with friends from Insight for Living.
Join Chuck Swindoll for an Alaskan cruise, June 30th through July 7th, 2018. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Chuck Swindoll concludes his message about the many ways God humbles a proud heart, Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God Humbles a Proud Heart, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.